This week on the show, we have Maps Maponyane striding into studio. In an effort to increase female audience aside, Maps is here because we are back with our annual Sports Drip Show. Every football season starts with a drip, and this season it's more fire than ever. But this show isn't just about what the teams and brands are putting out there for the fans. It's also about sports fashions, learning some fundamentals and how to look your best on game days and days when you just want some more game. Settle in for the annual Sports Drip Show. It's Maps Maponyane. It's episode 64 of the On The Bounce Show. Let's get into it. All right, welcome to it. The sports seasons have begun and the results have been very interesting to this point, but obviously, as like last year, we also want to talk sports fashions, we want to talk sports drips and the best kits out there. So we have, again, assembled the best panel for this. To my left, I have my co-host, Sandile Shangas, over here.
Almost shanked it this morning, but I got it right eventually.
Now, we'll get into Man United dynamics in a bit. So all of you watching, and I can feel it in the comments already, you're going to go, Grimsby, guys, give him a break. Give him a break, okay? Maps Maponyane, you're in a Real Madrid kit today, looking resplendent.
Thank you. I mean, we'll get into the kits, but this is one of those ones that just had to get my hands onto.
It's a good color on you, but then again, I think you could wear a torn black bag and you'll still look pretty good. It's the nature of you. Nice to have you on, but like, I've known you for quite some time. Sandile's known you longer. I feel like you were always destined to be on the couch with us. So, you know, kick back, relax. This is your lounge for the day, for the hour.
I've been wanting to be on for a while. So it's pretty cool to finally be on the show.
That's on me.
And it's nice to know that at some point, you know, felt like I could make the cut. And so it's cool to be on the show with you guys. Been watching On The Bounce for a long time now.
Thanks, man. Nice.
I love what you guys put out. So, yeah.
Speaking about the cut, how sweet is my shirt, though?
We'll talk about it later. There's no run with it. We'll talk about it
Relax.
Later. We'll talk about it. We'll get there.
Guys, I mean, this is episode 64. There have been some pretty cool outfits across us and guests. And I don't think I've ever walked into the studio more confident because of the shirt. I mean, Arsenal just lost to Liverpool.
I was going to say, you were very quick to mention Grimsby. Not quick to mention undefeated Kaizer Chiefs. And that's why I'm giving you some room.
Giving him some space there.
I've got my Pirates guy equally quiet. So I think today is going to be a great episode.
I didn't bring up Grimsby. I was pre-warning the audience not to give you shit about Grimsby. There's a big difference.
Wow. Yeah, don't make any slurs as well, like Zoboslai or anything. You know? those can be triggering out there.
Let me not fall into it.
Yeah, guys, so look, I mean, obviously there's always so much to talk about with football, current affairs and all that kind of stuff, but today's show is literally just going to be with Maps. Obviously, he's a very interesting character within sport because your dad is to this day an absolute icon in the football game.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky to have been exposed to a man that was iconic, as you say, in the game of football in South Africa. And I remember those days growing up. Obviously, you know, he started at Kaizer Chiefs and that was, you know, till the early 90s, around 92, I think, when he 91, 92, when he moved to Pirates. And so I'm a big Pirates fan because I grew up in that time when he was playing for Pirates. And I remember just being confused as to, you know, why all these people always wanted to be around my dad. I thought, like, you know, it was always just dad. And I thought maybe he just, like, had a lot of friends from school. And they all just, like, wanted to come say hi to him. Like, it was a weird world to be in. But, no, it's been amazing to have been instilled with that idea of working as hard as you can to achieve excellence because you've been exposed to it. Until this day, still record goal scorer at Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, it's 30 years later, nothing's changed. 40 years later. And it's incredible to kind of have that work ethic and always being taught to work hard and earn every bit of what you go after.
That's amazing. Look, we're going to touch on that and, of course, what that turned you into athlete-wise. But last week, I there was nothing derogatory about that.
That came from the gut. I have no idea why.
The hearty chuckle was hearty.
I don't know why you laughed. Anyway, last week, I had the extreme privilege of going to FNB Stadium with Sandile and some of his mates, and we went to go watch Chiefs versus Sundowns, and this is what the snapshot looked like of the night.
We're off to the stadium. It's Chiefs vs Sundowns. Got the goons behind me there. Devin and Speedy. Hopefully, yeah, we take the points. It's a road to victory.
What prediction?
1-0 Chiefs. Sereno. Actually, not Sereno. Like, just a good old, like, we don't know who scores, like, off the shoulder. Probably one of the biggest ads for local football. It's midweek, it's a Wednesday. I have been to a lot of local football games. This is the biggest I've seen it at. Yeah, man, this is awesome. And we just need 3 points for my boys.
Getting them playing, man.
So first half analysis, enterprising football from Kaizer Chiefs, pressing football, but we need a goal. Either way, we need a goal just to cap up what a beautiful night it's been. So yeah, come on, let's go Chiefs, let's go. Very few times we say it in football, Chiefs played way better than Sundowns. I think we're there and thereabouts. I worry about the future of Sundowns on this one, but what a great night out. Ben, thank you for joining me. This was awesome. This was really great. What a great advertisement for football. 75,000 people on a Wednesday night at FNB Stadium. Electric, absolutely electric.
All right, if you are just listening to us on the podcast, I'd always suggest watch the full show on YouTube, not just because Maps is here, but because you get to watch all our inserts as well. So, Shaz, I'm going to beat you to it.
Yes, sir.
Kaizer Chiefs still unbeaten.
Yes.
That must give you some joy.
You know what? I think the time is now. Like, you know what you say with Arsenal, and I called it from last year, once we won the Nedbank Cup, there's going to be that winning feeling. I know people say it's early, but let's keep it going. And we just beat Arrows this weekend, so I'm happy.
Man,
unlike Pirates fans, I'm happy.
I haven't been. He hasn't stopped, man.
Like, I haven't.
I'm a Pirates fan, and he's reminded me each time I've encountered him. Chiefs is unbeaten, but yeah. We know that won't last very long.
I wish that I had put the camera on Lesecco and Devin, your mates, who after that match berated Chiefs how cuck they were, how flat Sundowns were. What a terrible game of football.
Yeah, look, that game deserved, with all the people in there, it deserved a goal.
It did.
And we were saying that. And yeah, man, the finishing. But, you know, we'll get to that. It's fine. Whatever.
Okay. So, look, the reason I really wanted to show that game and that Chiefs is unbeaten, that you've got some glory. Yeah. Man United in the very same night kind of broke your spirit a bit.
I was about to say, you watched that and then you went straight to watch.
Yeah.
That's painful.
That was happening on the side.
Yeah.
Guys, I just got to ask a quick question. This isn't me having a dig, but is it time for fans to get amnesty now away from Man United?
No, I think I've earned the right for a breather, because we're at the stadium and I'm telling you the update. I'm like, yo, we're 2-0 down. Then it's 2-2. Then you update me in the car. You're like, you won't believe what happened in penalties. 11, 12, and I was just like, I could have told you. Just it was just written for us to take a full L and with a full strength team. Oh my goodness, at Grimsby.
Yeah, so I'm a big believer that you can never change your team in life.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people. Okay, I was having this chat with a friend of mine. He's very young.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like early 20s, and he started supporting Man United after like the major glory.
That's so crazy.
So I'm thinking, does he get amnesty? Like, if your dad support Man United, or if you were a Man United fan from like the Beckham days, you're in for life. Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
But what about these Oaks that are sort of new on the boat, so to speak? Can they support another team now?
No, Bill's character.
Yeah.
Build character.
Invest in the dip.
Yes.
I mean, you can't flip-flop your way in and out of teams, honestly. I mean, you gotta stick through it. It just makes the victory so much sweeter when you end up getting that time. I mean, I became a United fan when this burly French man was popping his collar up with his hands up in the air.
Ultimate
and
era,
just an absolute king.
Yeah.
And kicking people who mess with them as well in the stands.
People got to know.
And it was a time where it was beautiful. And now it's definitely not that. But you know, there's some people who've moved across the city and everything. I'm like, you're just not loyal at all. Like that's not how it works.
That's my next question for both of you. If you are to claim Man United amnesty, are you entitled? What teams are you entitled to cross the floor to? Because you can't go from legacy to legacy. You've already earned the right. You can't go from Man United to Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, like the Liverpool, the good
ones. That's a good question. If you could support any other team in the English Premier League,
I reckon Brighton's your ceiling. you can't cross the floor any higher than Brighton
in the EPL. Oof.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
Jeez,
I reckon you guys.
This is all very difficult. I'd like.
Judging by how you Oaks reacted after the Burnley win, I reckon you can have Burnley and that's your level.
I'd actually, you know, I'd actually have the answer, Leeds. I'd go with Leeds.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for me to go there. Lucas Radebe, easy ticks for me.
That was going to be my exact same answer.
Leeds. Okay. Everything else, they're onto me.
Especially because we just, if I was a Leeds fan, have just made it back into the EPL. Like our expectations are not the highest anyway.
Yeah.
We're there for the history, you know, for the story of it all.
90s legacy team.
You know, like, I mean, it's... Yeah.
So, Maps, we spoke about in the intro about your influence. Obviously, the influence of your dad must have been huge. But, like, when you grew up, was there a lot of pressure? Did you feel like any sort of pressure that you also had to become a sports star? I mean, let's be honest. Genetically, you won a bit of a lottery. Good standing there. I mean, did you start playing sport with any sort of pressure or sort of desire to take it far?
Yeah, there always was. I started kicking around a football probably at around 2 years old. I started playing club football from around 4 years old, which was just kind of wild to even think of.
It's unreal when you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that weekend and week commitment, club football, training straight after school, twice during the week, and then games on the weekends. And then as you got older, it became three times during the week and then games on the weekends. And it was a constant pressure of needing to, you know, produce the highest performance because of what you're walking behind, the shadow that you're walking in. And it came with a lot of challenges. Like I always speak about how, you know, I was a striker in right wing. I've been lucky to have like inherited like a lot of my dad's acceleration and speed. And I've always been a kind of power player. And I would score two goals, set up three chances, have a solid game. And I'd come off the field and people would be like, your dad would have scored three goals and set up five chances.
The worst thing you can say to a kid.
Someone would whip in a cross and maybe I'd score a header or score a volley. And my dad was known for his bicycle kicks, like spectacular goals. And they're like, yeah, nice, you scored, but like, where's the bicycle kick? Right. And then it's just like, you know, as you get older and older, all these little things creep in. You make a team and it's because your dad is. You feel like you just had one of your top games and it's just like, oh, but you're just not quite your dad. And then you start thinking,
Was this just from your coach or your teammates?
No. The thing is, they were always random.
Yeah.
And like random parents just would even just watch and because they just heard that you were, you know, this person's kid. And, you know, you start debating whether really it's your dream that you're buying into or whether you're trying to replicate someone else's dream, someone else's path in life. And then I just found myself losing a lot of the passion, the desire, that feeling of like, is that really ever, am I ever really going to be good enough, no matter what I do on the field? And you think of how that's such a culturally South African thing amongst supporters as well. Yeah. You know, think of the torment of, you know, some of those guys who try to make it through, it just didn't work out. I feel like Kez Jr. or Bamusa Sono.
You said names. I got you.
I mean, I'm just saying, that came with ridiculous pressure as well.
100%.
But then you almost like feel like they never got to quite excel to that point because it came with this monkey on their back. It's a little bit heavier when you're trying to make things happen. You probably, for them, as they got to that point of view, they probably tried working a little bit too hard. And you find that, like, if you watch a lot of the international guys coming through, there's like that support, like, come on, like, that person's definitely got it. Let's rally on behind them and let's see what they can become. And if they don't, that's fine. But, you know, people will always reference the legends that their parents are or whatever it is, but let them be who they are. But here it's like, yeah, unfortunately, just not like it. So, you know, good luck with whatever else they end up doing. Like almost retiring them before they even get going.
Rough.
And it's rough. And for me, I was just like, you know what? I've been instilled with so many things where I can literally put my mind to anything and make things happen. And so how about I actually just do that with my own life and take control of that and control my own destiny and chase after the things that I want, that I feel are made for me.
Did that pressure of who your dad was make you fall in love with the other sports? Because I know you're so deep into your two other sports. You were Mr. St. John's. He was the rugby guy. Then he was the analyst. Then you are, you and Ben golf brings you guys together. Did that
Yeah, make... it's like Maps is one of the few guys that hits the ball as far as
you. And I've heard the banter. I said, no, this guy really went for it. Did that make you fall in love with other sports, you know?
Do you know what it made me do? Like, I've been very resistant of not being damn good at anything I try in the sports space. Like, I just always want to try push myself and I hate sucking. So I also love picking up a new sport and sucking at it because it's not going to be very long until I get good at it, because I kind of like get quite extreme to try and get good at it eventually.
Yeah.
Unless I mess up an ankle.
Unless you break an ankle at paddle.
I think it just makes me always want to excel, work out the mechanics, work out any science that needs to be in and tap into myself to figure out how I can get good at that. And I think for me, like anything I try that's around sport, I always want to push as hard as I can to be good at it. Or if I'm not, then work out the mechanics of my body to figure it out, to break those codes.
Which is actually, it's a really cool mindset. Like that's the only person I've known you as. It's like, I think I met you in and around golf. That was inevitable. I think like a Gary Player Invitational or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always appreciate that about you because like you're a sports fan, but you're a guy that's like all us amateurs, right? I mean, Shaz, obviously with you at paddle, like that's the sport I know you play the most and you play basketball. And we're never going to be pros at stuff, but in our own way, like, okay, I'm going to be this good and that's going to be competitive and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool thing for a lot of sports fans. It's like, it's one thing to be a sports fan. You can watch the stuff and you get hammered and you're with your mates, but there's always that little thing you can actually excel in still.
Yeah.
And you've just described it personally, like perfectly.
Yeah.
I've got some abilities. I love sport. I'm going to be this good.
Mm.
So don't be cuck, but that's the upper echelon.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at golf, and I'm sure you've done a similar thing, and I think I do it with a lot of different things I try. You're not going to be a pro, but I'm like, okay, what's the one percentile at? Like what's exceptionally good? That's a fine. What is exceptionally good? And cool, go after that. What's like just one level below that? And that's what you pursued. And for me, that's good enough. Like I can take that. And to do it with enjoyment and love for it is pretty great. But I just remembered where we first met, actually. Sports Clip Central back in the day.
That would probably be it, y'all, back in the day in Rivonia.
Yeah.
In the studio there.
Yeah.
Final question just on that. Was there a time where, I mean, like, did you and your dad talk a lot about this kind of stuff? Or did he have any sort of aspirations? I mean, like, I'm not a dad. I don't think I'm even going to be one this late in the game. But, like, you always got this dream that your son's going to do great things. I mean, you've obviously done amazing things. But, like, was there ever a time where he's like, okay, cool, you're not going to take this further. That's totally fine.
So my brother was also incredible footballer. He was a defender. And, you know, you speak about the sports and wanted to excel in other things. He went on to be a professional snowboarder. And he represented SA and competed all around the world. And so that's always been in us, like whatever we take on, we need to. And I think the irony of everything, speaking about all the pressures of all these people and these external voices, is my dad couldn't have cared less. Like, he was just like,
just go do your
thing. Do your thing, man. I don't mind.
I've had my life. Your life can be completely different. Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
I mean, if I'm honest, one of the things I think about and I reflect on that do hurt sometimes is that he came to very few of my games. And we never really got that time when I was a little boy to kick around a ball and everything, because he was always traveling with work and football and sacrificing for us to have the life, you know, that we could by going to good schools and everything. And so a lot of those tangibles, you know, I wish I was able to have. But with that as well, it was quite beautiful that I was given the freedom to be whoever I wanted. You know, it was tough to get to that point to have him say he's proud of me eventually because of, you know, going to the schools that we were able to go to, going, you know, putting our parents under that pressure to work so hard to afford us those schools, and then going with careers that were creative and everything was an adjustment. Like, was really tough for him.
Huge.
You know, there was a period when my career was taking off and like I'm on magazines everywhere and I'm like new kid on the block and everything. And I remember him just being like, we were doing an interview together for the first time when I'd revealed who he was, because I just went as Mups. I never wanted the surname to come along. I was trying to make a name for myself first before ever saying, okay, this is who my old man is and everything, because it's completely separate careers. But I never wanted to get anything because of who he was. So for a good like first 5 years taking off, managed to establish that. Then I did like this interview. And I remember during the interview, my dad kind of candidly, you know, it was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know about all this modeling or but TV stuff or acting stuff or whatever that he's doing. I mean, it's definitely not what I paid for at school, but yeah, he'll work it out. And I was like, damn, that kind of hurts. Like, you're getting celebrated and lauded by everyone else. Your career's taking off. You feel like you've really found your calling and you're doing some pretty dope things. But you realize that what anyone else has to say really doesn't matter. And all you want to hear from your father or, you know, your parents is, I'm proud of you. And I remember I got that for the first time when, so I put myself through varsity because I had to work a couple of jobs while studying and all of that. And I remember it was really when I excelled at varsity and managed to graduate, you know, at a, whatever, flying colors, while working everything and then making it through and him realizing what sacrifice that took, that he was like, okay, proud of you. Good.
Touch on exactly what you said in the intro, being exposed to how hard work 100% leads to excellence. Yep.
And that's when I was like, okay, that's exactly the lessons we're taught. That's when it was good enough for him because of the amount of sacrifice he realized I needed to take on to actually get that education for myself. And, you know, passing on that baton. I remember finishing school and we had financial issues at home. And my parents were like, this is what's happened. You're on your own. Hopefully what you've, you know, learned from, you know, the resources that you may have learned and the education you've gotten will help you figure it out for yourself. And figuring out for myself has been one of my favorite or most proud achievements of myself.
Absolutely. Sorry, Chase.
Yeah, before we go into the drip, would you go back into commentary?
I go back in?
Yeah, because I've always wanted to ask you, because you were the original Clash of Clash of Clashes guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've seen how far it's grown.
That was fun, man.
Would you go back?
I would go back. You know, there are times when I'm watching even just EPL or PSL, and I'll often just in my mind just kind of be like, okay, you know, this person passed to this person, this person, and I'm just like doing it in my head. And it was fun. You know, it was fun because what you do is a whole bunch of the research. Yeah. Obviously, you know, all the positions, the numbers, what's happening behind the scenes, you prepping the threads, the stories, the kind of Peter Drury, you know, moments, expressions, those moments. And it's fun. It's because fast pace keeps you on your feet and everything. And I love that. And commentary for a lot of people seems like it's just like, you know, it's just people talking about who's playing, but it's commentary is tough. It takes a lot of skill.
Yeah.
You got to know where you're going with it.
100%. Yeah. Everything has to make sense. And you know when someone's not really. Yeah. But I think
heard
I would.
You heard it here first on The Bounce, guys.
I don't think anyone cares about me going back into commentary, dog. Niche. You heard it here first. You can now discard the information.
You can use it.
Niche things, hey? When two or three guys go, yes, I'm wondering that one. Nice one, Shaz.
Yeah.
So, but Maps, like, from what I know about you, and you said it already, it's like, I see you as a creative person rather than say, like, you're just a good-looking guy who gets cool opportunities. I think a lot of people maybe discredit you in that respect because when I look at you, it's like your stance towards fashion, being like a fashion icon, is because you want to create, you want to combine things, you want to take influences and then make something out of that. Like, when did fashion become like a big thing with you?
When I was tiny. My mom's the most well-dressed, elegant, beautiful woman that I know. And from a very early age, I always joke that my mom always wanted one boy, one girl, had my brother first, disappointed that I wasn't a girl when she had me, and ended up treating me like her girl, and take me shopping with her and everything, and then would do a fashion show afterwards and want my opinion. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. And then eventually I was like, oh, actually that looks good on you. That looks good. And then like I started making my own decisions. And I think looking at her and seeing how much pride it gave her, and then realizing just how much of an impression what you put on and how much of an expression of yourself that it gives as a, you know, as a first encounter, as a representation of where you may be in your life, as a representation of your mood, and how you're able to play with that is quite important. And it can completely change your day. Like, it's small things with me as well. Like I collect hats, and I've got tons of different hats, like over maybe 300 odd different kinds of hats.
Is this a separate room at home?
Yeah, there's actually like a hat room, hat wall. And those hats also represent like what I'm feeling on the day and what I'm trying to portray or convey as soon as I leave the house. I love how your clothing can be this armor for the day that that helps be an extension of who you are.
I
think I've always just loved that. And for me, it's just been a natural, fun, enjoyable thing because my mother just made it fun, you know. And in some weird ways, it can really hold up as that armor even when you're being weighed down internally. And it's a nice way to still be able to go out into the world and just give you that extra little push. I guess it's just about how well you end up knowing yourself, how well you know what works for you, and balancing all of that out, and then just being creative in your expression of it all.
So there's a lot in there that I enjoy, because the reason I brought that up is that we're in a country where guys wear a lot of sports merch out, right?
100%.
And sometimes, guys, I mean, look, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus here, but some of us don't look great when we try it. Mups, what are some of the basic fundamentals that us sports fans can maybe do? I mean, obviously, I'm looking as good as it gets right now. I'm Arsenal third.
I will say that it's a good time for sports fans and fashion trends and how that's become this norm now. Yeah. I've never been a fan of wearing like football jerseys out beyond just going to watch the game in your jersey.
Yeah.
Or wearing it at home
he's
or whatever.
He's on Lolo's side.
I've been like, nah, that's not cool at all. Especially because like a lot of big diehard sports fans also are just like terrible at making kind of fashion choices.
Yeah.
And I think it's great now that football teams have taken on just making beautiful shirts now that makes it an acceptable thing and actually can elevate your style if you put it together well, that now it's actually become more and more of a acceptable norm. But
to ask the direct question,
but should you
wear a football jersey on a date or not? Because we also
So I think the answer is
look,
yes.
This is the first date,
but it's what you do. But that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's what you do. So, like you just said, like you accessorize with things like hats.
Yeah,
there's got to be a good fit to it, okay? And look, a lot of these things get tighter.
Yeah.
So if you are an athlete, cool. But if you're not, like you know, is it something else you can kind of look around? Certain colors. Yeah. So like if your team has something that's very busy, should you be wearing that shirt socially or just at game time?
Yeah. Okay, to answer your question, no.
No.
Thank Should you be wearing football shirts on dates? No.
Okay.
Unless, I mean, right
unless
now.
Unless we go to the stadium.
Right, unless we're going to the stadium. Cool. But unless.
Spoiler alert. Unless, if you've got a date with me, there's a good chance I'm going to wear this
there's
shirt,
a
guys.
Very high chance he's going to be wearing a football shirt. But that's fine. You know, you, a low you chance make, of going on dates, though. Yeah. But I think unless you've got this like undeniable just like ease and sense of swag and style where I'm acceptable of it if you're going to wear it a lot more looser and chilled and not like the sports shirt. A lot of people wear sports football shirts, whatever, like they're about to run on the field. Like it doesn't have to be like this fit thing that you're going to be going to your date with. Like you're not going into combat with your, you know, opposing.
It always goes back to, I think it was Mike Morton who had it first as like a sort of thing he posted. Yeah. He's a great content creator. It's probably my favorite football content creator. When he's like, you know, you rock up at a date and you're wearing a 1,500 rand shirt and then your date arrives in a 30 rand thing from Shein. I mean, like, do these chicks have no respect? And there he is, and there he is standing in the new pirate shirt.
Yeah, that one finished me.
He's actually doing some dope things. Like I'm loving his content right now. I love this kind of new path he's created for himself. But with the new shirts that are out there right now, if you get them a little bit looser and you know how to style that, then it's a yes from me. Like there's a lot of really, really dope shirts. So I know we're about to go into that actually when I think about it, could make that cut for me that if you wear them in certain ways, would be really nice to wear out on a date. But not like not when we're going out to a nice restaurant. Then absolutely not.
I wanted to ask your opinion now. You've seen a lot of the local clubs outside of their core brands that, you know, sponsor them. There's a big fashion statement going to in terms of like tracksuits, how they come out. Like you've seen Pirates do it, you've seen Chiefs do it, and you've seen Dr. Kumalo come out with his jersey. You've seen Old School jump into the space with their collectibles on football. What is your opinion on that? Do you think that also grows that fashion aspect of it as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely grows it as another separate kind of business, as a whole new entity to keep people excited about the game. You have to remember that, like, our love for the nostalgia of those recreated shirts are from the beauty of the football in those times. If we're honest, the standard has dropped, in my opinion, significantly across the board.
I think game structures have become stronger.
Exactly.
Which negates the individual flares.
Yeah. And so it's with a lot of stadiums being a little, you know, a lot quieter than usual and losing fans there, it's like, how do you try and reignite that same feeling? How do you get people to stadiums? How do you get people to buy in even more into your team? Yeah. How do you make them feel like we're really doing our best to have you be a part of brand Orlando Pirates, brand Kaizer Chiefs, brand whatever it might be? Yeah. And that's from those kinds of moves. Like you're trying to go beyond the sport. You're trying to infiltrate our homes, infiltrate our minds and memories and our lost nostalgia of those teams that we love so much, even though we might be going through a tough time, whichever team it is. Yeah. Like this actually has reminded me that this is where my allegiance is. And look how good I look in this, and look at all the stuff they've made accessible to us to also, you know, look like them too. Yeah. And I've always loved a lot of the old school kits. I was lucky to have, you know, my old man played for South Africa, that classic Kappa SA jersey, 1994-5-6. And like those were days when you could see like there's more experimentation with those kids. And you look back now and it's like, oof, they were ahead of their time. Like that was really, really cool. And it's the same with so many of the kits that we're seeing now, the retro kits that Adi has done better than anyone else as a whole. And when you see people taking away the sports brands and kind of making it more of a lifestyle thing, like one of the first to do it and has been further proliferated through access to marketing resources and become more popular as a result for having buy-in with these different club brands is Kasi Flavor by Kabelo Kongwane, who actually has great football links with his dad, Six. I mean, he was doing it long before. But, you know, he was a guy hustling, making these jerseys out of the passion and love for football to, you know, honor those times, honor those footballers, honor his father through that, through fashion. He's a great designer and he always had that vision. Like he's the originals around that.
Yeah.
And then for that to have kind of taken off and to see it being recreated on a bigger scale is more of an access thing by, you know, brands like Old School and everything. But also shout out to them because they saw the gap.
Yeah.
They were always just rugby.
Yeah.
And then they saw the opportunity in football.
And then they pivoted both
sides and it's worked out really, really well. But it's also really, really important to always like acknowledge the people who wanted to make that really cool again to get this whole trend going.
I really like what you said there about, you know, how do you increase the sort of brand field within that? So like get behind your team. And your team isn't just whistle to whistle, as they say.
Yeah.
It's not just the 80-minute Saturday, 90-minute Saturday. Your team's a lifestyle, you know. It's like a cool thing you partner with.
Yeah.
It's like your social outlet. It's like maybe the purveyor of your hopes and dreams. It's like it's something that could be so positive in your life. Like when Arsenal win the season, I'm going to be... anyway,
you've been saying that for how many years?
Dude,
that's I've been warming it up. So look, another sort of like stance on this, I hung out with my main man, Seppo Mashishi from Puma. Obviously, Sundowns being the most iconic local team currently when you think they've won the PSL, 8 times in a row. They got a very distinct look about them and their shirts. So Seppo and I had a little chat about this week, which you can enjoy right here.
Hi, I'm Seppo Mashishi, team head of team sport at Puma South Africa. And today I'm going to be chatting you through the Mamelodi Sundowns home and away kits for 2025-2026 season. So for the 2025-2026 season, the Sundowns home shirt is obviously in a yellow base of V-neck. And then the away shirt is in white and blue, which obviously the Sundown supporters love that so much. That resembles the Brazilians and the style that they play in. Why did we choose the graphic on the side of the shirts? That symbolizes the passing patterns and the style of play that Mamelodi Sundowns always use when they're winning all these multiple PSL titles. So if you pay attention very, very closely to the kit, you'll see that these are passing patterns that the team always use for when they're playing. And I think that it has been illustrated quite strongly on the video that you will see or that you've seen so far of us launching the kit.
And when it comes to going into every season and creating these new kits, like how much of a collaboration process is it between Puma and Sundowns?
It's pretty much a very, very strong collaboration. I would call it the 50-50 split in terms of collaboration. Obviously, Sundowns gives us, any milestones of the coming season. And we design, obviously, we chat, you know, pretty much well in advance, like 20 months or 24 months in advance. Before the creation or before the launch of the new kit. So this is quite a long, long process. But however, us and Sundowns are equally involved in this process. Obviously, the fans are not only wanting to buy the home and away shirts and that's that. They do also want to buy supporting garments, like, for example, the jacket that I have on here, which is a King jacket, part of the King tracksuit range that you'll see with Man City, with AC Milan and all those Puma teams. So Sundowns are obviously part of the global statement whenever we're producing this. And also, just to add, just recently the club played in the Club World Cup and they were donning a very, very lifestyle-orientated kit from Kit Super, which was very, very well received. Then one last thing, what's also really cool is with the Sundowns kit, there is a combo to match that of boots. I mean, if you look at these beauties here, this future boot, which is worn by Tebogo Mokoena and Themba Zwane, I think this looks very, very great when you're matching it with the white kit. And then this amazing boot, which is an ultra, when you see Malibongo Corso, for example, donning this with the home or even an away kit, it looks even great. So the combos are really, really, really combining, so they say.
Okay, toughest question out of all of them. What's the second best kit in the PSL?
The second best kit in the PSL is the one that we're going to launch very soon, the Sundowns third kit. So stay tuned because, we're not done yet.
Yeah, so Seppo's going to be very generous and give us a new Sundowns third kit when it comes out. So we're going to have a competition running. And basically, you need to be very quick on that. Otherwise, Flex will take that jersey.
For sure.
Our producer Flex, big Sundowns fan. So we'll let you know about that. And you can win one of the new kits because we'd like to give you what we have. Guys, just on that, I know Sundowns, of course, like they are very iconic as a local team.
Yeah.
You want to jump in here?
Yeah, no, I just want to commend that that fighting for that 50-50, as he says, that Sundance has done quite well with Puma. And I recently saw that whole special limited edition rollout of these Puma kits that Kitsupa designed, like huge fashion designer, love Kitsupa. He's done a lot of work with some of the top brands. He's got a great brand of himself. And Sundance was part of these kits, like all the world's best kits. It's in these all these amazing press releases and launches cool. around the world, like get this football kit and everything. And then Sundance is there too. And I'm like, damn, this is dope. So yeah, definitely respect to that.
Yeah, I just love how, you know, football's leading the charge when it comes to sports fashion. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And just to use another reference here. So AC Milan's another Puma team. Yep. Now, Flex, if you just bring up the thing, the first slide there with AC Milan. Last year, this was probably my favorite kit because AC Milan were originally built as a football and cricket club. Some mad English guy.
I can see
started.
You have. I think I can see you have a type.
Yeah, it's literally just a white kit, an Arsenal kit. I mean, not trying to say anything.
You only, also only wear Emirates.
So. It's like I'm like, geez, only Emirates.
But guys, I mean, last year we spoke about this shows on the show last year. It's that AC Milan was actually a cricket club in the beginning as well. Yeah. So they went back to the heritage of showcasing the cricket and the all whites here. But another thing AC Milan has done this last season. Put the next slide there, please, Flex. They've also got a golf line. So here's one of their players, the San Siro.
Yeah.
And AC Milan.
This is cool.
Golf and football collab. Yeah.
So if we're keeping it a buck.
You hate this.
100. No. It's not that.
You feeling this?
It's not about hating or feeling it. Shout out to these football brands, the teams that are great, making great collaborations with proper brands. I don't know if you saw a couple of years ago, AC Milan did a whole team casual kit with Off-White as well. Yeah. You know, like completely like you wouldn't even expect it.
But this maps goes exactly what you were saying is how do these football clubs go more into lifestyle
exactly.
so that you're not just focusing on the game, you're focusing on the team and the lifestyle.
100%. Yeah. There's a few of the brands that have got collabs with Armani, you know, and really that's where it's at. You know, how can I be a part of my brand beyond it? Our team, United, does it really well with Paul Smith. They could do it a little bit better, but they do it really well with Paul Smith as well. And
Tebama, Google and Pirates, you know, that collab was,
I mean, that was that one was of my iconic. Favorites, man. That
That's
was so
super
dope.
Iconic. So you can see there's always been, and I think there's such a new energy into getting young fashion designers into it now because they can see that that's where the money is and that's where the freshness of the design is.
And if we're honest, no one has done that better than Addy, bringing all these young designers locally.
Yeah.
To firstly do their own collections with Addy and then to take it to that next level and take a brand that is super, super, you know, what's the word? It's incredibly possessive for a lot of South Africans. Like, don't touch my Pirates, you know? And then to take that risk and do it so well by believing in young designers like Tebe Magugu for a kit that was loved with those, you know, skull and crossbones in those colorways. And really just elevated that kind of fashion statement on the kit, thanks to Pirates as well, just being solid themselves.
Yeah, just
sure. it was brilliant. And so yeah, shout out to that for sure.
Super cool. Like I reckon, you know, I was watching US Open highlights and I find that's the most boring of all the Grand Slams in tennis. But I was thinking like, you know, Nike, Adidas, Puma, whatever the manufacturer is, wouldn't it be kind of cool if there was like maybe like a Barcelona football trim that like one of the players wore? Because individual sports could take this on. I mean, we see it in LIV, the Stingers, right? Mm-hmm. They've got the Springbok kind of vibe going on there. Yeah. But it'd be kind of cool. I mean, I know Ian Poulter's a terrible example, but he had like Arsenal shoes back in the day.
Yeah.
But it'd be quite cool just to have like golfers touching on, like say, for example, first round, they've got like a Newcastle trim because they're in the same sponsor. You know, this latitude.
I saw that happening a lot with the Kobe Bryant jersey, where a lot of the players were playing in Kobe Bryant jerseys as well, or warming up in those jerseys or Jordan jerseys. That'd be an interesting way to move forward. I actually feel you on that.
But it's fun, you know. I guess fans talking, which is the whole point about sport. Let's get us talking about more things involving sport.
But sometimes the quality or the real clever play is in the detail. So one of the best things, I mean, if we're speaking about tennis, firstly, no one has done it as brilliantly as the woman when it comes to just like more expressive on the on the tennis courts. And I mean, all the women right now, there's even what Naomi Osaka was wearing right now during the US Open was also just incredible. She's always very expressive in different ways. And even Taylor Townsend and. But when I speak to the subtleties, I love what Lacoste did for Novak Djokovic.
All right, yeah.
So they had that jacket that they made for him, yeah, which is like incredible details on it. But then they took the crocodile, and for that full tournament, the crocodile was a goat. And it was to honor him. And it was just like this green goat. And it's just like, that's what it's about as well. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be this huge overhaul. It's like, where do you play those little clever interplays? Speaking to your trimmings of like, you know,
flair.
Yeah, of flair. Like you're saying with Barcelona, how do you have those Barcelona trimmings if we're sponsored by the same team? And as opposed to just wearing, people were just wearing the Kobe jersey.
Yeah.
Same thing on, but like, how do you incorporate it into what you're wearing? Something that I see maybe Melbourne being able to do on the, you know, on the golf course.
Well, obviously Melbourne are crazy, but I mean, you're right. Like, it's also brands not taking themselves so seriously. Like they forewent the crocodile for a completely different animal.
Yeah.
So they're not taking themselves seriously. Yeah. It's like, they're not drowning in their own CI and all that other kind of crap.
Yeah. I mean, I've got so many of those Lacoste special collections they did with different animals, and people are like, does that person know he's not wearing like but is that, it's just like, as you said, by them not taking themselves too seriously, I mean, that also really built their brand identity as well.
All right, Chaz, I want to ask you, just in sort of wrapping up here,
what
have been like some of the really cool kits? I mean, obviously, I've seen the way you've been looking at my shirt the whole episode.
Look,
What have been some of the better kits this season?
So I'm not going to rank them. I think my favorite one this year, and I hated it when it came out because I knew how buckle it was going to be. It was going to be the Arsenal one. So Flex, you can pull up the Arsenal one. This kit is just sleek. It's one of those.
I mean, Bakayan Saka and I are basically the same person.
I mean, it's a clean top.
Oh, is that why you're sitting like that? Shame.
Yeah, it's a very super clean top. And like everybody knew when it came out in the Premier League, this is the best kit. Nobody can play on it. This is the fire one.
Is it collective Arsenal smugness as well?
Yeah,
it's not smugness.
It's a smugness.
Take what we get in the shirt. It's
and then if I butcher some of these names, guys, please don't. But these Venezia, over the past couple of years, they've been releasing iconic kits. Like people have been importing them. I don't even know where they're from. They don't even play that great football. But those are one of the people and the brands that have said, we're going to play in the fashion space at a high level. And just they've been, even last year's kit, and this year's kit have been absolutely amazing. So this is my second favorite one.
They're like the team from Venice. They're like third division in Italian.
But the swag is too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then number three, look, the Liverpool kit away was it's once again clean.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's one of those. And I actually enjoy the long sleeve a lot more. But please don't wear it on a date. I'm just it's one of those ones where when you go watch Liverpool, this looks super dope.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but then getting into like the more like stuff that you could wear out and where some of the people are going to be like, whoa, the Atalanta away one, I really enjoy it.
I love this. This particular picture looks like an Eastern European porno, but but I mean, what a shirt.
Yeah, and it speaks to what we were discussing earlier about tapping into 90s nostalgia and a different side. I just enjoy it because I was like, this taps into a lot of nostalgia for me. So I know you probably, what do you say? You said it's like,
it's nice. Yeah.
And then this one was
they could have used better models, maybe. Yeah.
This next one for me is a deep, deep cut because I had to go through it and I was like, which team is this? It's the Cadiz and Macron kit.
So what I've got here is
Cadiz is left.
Yeah, I know. Cadiz is on the left. I put it next to the Man City kit here for a reason. Is that every now and again, you get these clubs that want to do something really cool. Yeah. And like I said, nostalgic value is great. Yeah. But every now and again, you can just do a black kit so right. Eh?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I love the gold touches on the Cadiz kit here, much like Puma have done here with the silver coming through on the black.
Mm.
It's very distinctive. It's iconic.
The last time a black kit was that good, I mean, it's still better. This one I'm going to mention was definitely that kind of PSG Jordan collab.
Oh, yes. That's iconic.
That cool. Which is just iconic as well. I didn't know you had a whole bunch lined up for us to see. Now I'm going to speak about kits that people don't even know. They're going to have to all go to Google while I'm talking because
we can
Flex, I don't know how quick Flex is going to be off the mark, you know, but
we'll slot it in.
But there's so many I'd love to talk about. I think about the season that have got me going, but let me not jump the gun. I'm guessing you want to mention a few?
No, that was pretty much it because for me, it kind of stopped with Arsenal third. I mean,
yeah, look, we gave you a lot. But the reason I was going to say I like the Cadiz one, sorry, Flex, we can bring it back up. Because unlike the other football logos, where it's left, right, having a fully centralized kit is something so unique. So that's what I saw out of all the other ones. I was like, everything's down the middle, and you definitely don't see that a lot.
I would have just lessened the size of the typography. It's a lot. Bucks is too much.
Bucks is paying the bills there.
Look, you know what? That probably would be doper if your two logos above the Bucksy were smaller too. Now it looks like they're trying to compete. It just overpowers it a little bit because it's fine if you've got that big middle. I mean, most kits do. Yeah. But like just that, those top two.
You know what? If I was, smaller. Is it Macron?
Macron, yeah.
If I was Macron, I would go, cool guys, we're going double sleeve. So take away off the chest.
Yeah. And, Macron,
and maybe double sleeve it.
Macron, sneaky every year, giving us two goat kits that are like, okay. You know, so I'm really liking where Macron's going with their design.
Guys, this is the thing about sports drip, right? Your team can be absolute shite, but you can love the jersey.
Absolutely.
Because they're putting time into the design. Maps, what were a couple of them that really stood out for you this season?
I mean,
obviously you're wearing the Real Madrid one, which is...
That last line of team being the way it is, but having the kits. I mean, I've got all of United's kits right now. Each time we lose, I look at them, I'm like... Can't wait to wear you at some point, but
just wear it. Don't put too much pressure on it,
guys. Man United fans, the ones that haven't taken the amnesty, wear it with pride.
Come on, of course, absolutely. Yeah. Our away kit is beautiful. Yeah. Our black blackish blue kind of dark kit,
playing into the nostalgia space as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of my favorite kits this year. I've got a few in my mind that I just flash through. So there's Genoa's away kit is really, really beautiful. There's Blackburn Rovers has got this really nice green and white, like a dark forest green kit that I think you would absolutely love if you saw. There is Rangers' kit is really nice. They've got also like a similar blue, slightly darker, great collar trimming, and it just balances really nicely. Then there's also St. Pauli. St. Pauli FC is in the Bundesliga. They're fifth right now, and they've got these kind of brown and white stripes. Brown on a football field is something that's like initially jarring. It's strange.
It's the 70s we don't want to come back on. Yeah.
But it's one of those kits that somehow just works. Like it stripes all across. They've got their Cognizant sponsor, and somehow it works. I was like, you're not meant to like this, but it looks so good. Yeah. So shout out to them. AS Roma's third kit, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness. That kit, with the trimmings of like little gold and green. Yeah. Also really, really nice. That's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, this season. And then, I mean, they kind of, home kit is also quite nice, but not even close to as good as that one. Then you've got Flamengo also puts out good kits all the time, and this year they haven't dropped the ball on that as well. And obviously, I mean, I love Madrid's third kit, also really, really dope. And it's so nice that there's so many out there right now that you can incorporate into your life,
Do not go on a date with anybody with them. That's what we told you guys. Unless you go to a stadium, we heard it here.
I feel challenge accepted.
I mean, don't go to a fancy date or nice restaurant.
Yeah, don't go to a dinner date.
If it's a daytime date, guys, you can do it properly. And just as Muff said,
make it cool.
Get the cut right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this winter,
if I think of an example, of getting the cut right and making it look good and kits. Think 2 years ago, Hector Bellerin being unveiled to Real Betis. Ooh.
There you are, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There you go.
But
it's Hector Bellerin, though.
Oh.
You know, I feel happy for our audience here that they could just learn so much from us on the show.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many cool insights on the show today. Guys, I want to finish off with one question to both of you. Yeah. Shaz, we've been doing the show for over a year now. I wasn't the biggest football fan coming into it, but I'm finding levels and levels that I actually talk about football more than any other sport right now.
I'm surprised that you weren't a big football fan at all.
I'm from the Cape, you know, so you play rugby and you play rugby and you don't really care about football. I mean, I think in the Cape they even call it soccer.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm actually really enjoying this sort of like evolution of my sportingness. Mm. But then I look at all the kits and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I have all these chats. And then I look at rugby. And maybe because it's a contact sport, and maybe because of the structures with it being slightly more amateurish in the commercial sense, those kits always looked like you're about to tackle someone. You can never wear those kits. Old School had a massive jump because that was like a vintage kind of thing and Old School of the name. Yeah. But do you ever think that, like, I don't know, think of like the average URC team. Do you ever think these kits are ever going to look good, or they're always just going to look like rugby?
But also another thing is that, oh, the rugby guys have gone left. Remember the Blue Bull Spider-Man joints and all of the...
The whole Marvel. It's terrible. The whole Marvel collaboration.
Sometimes sometimes you don't have to do too much. But the rugby kits look like you're playing rugby. I can't, you know, if outside of what Old School have done, I can't picture a rugby kit where it's super cool. You know, it's just, they've done well to play in the nostalgic space where it looks like you can just wear it out with jeans. But yes.
Okay, so I think what we can all confirm here is that, guys, don't go on dates in rugby jerseys.
I mean that's fair, a guarantee.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's not even a question.
If you rock up with a Bulls Spider-Man, what was it, Captain America?
If you do that and you get a second date, you guys are meant to be. You're the same kind of person. But there's a cheesy cringiness that just it's unavoidable. If there's any places where there might be any luck with that, maybe if you find one of those Old School, Old School, not the brand, like, you know, British Canterbury type jerseys, you could find the one or two that are acceptable,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're very
rare.
They're very rare, but also a rugby jersey, it's definitely just all functionality.
Yeah.
Just function. And it's sports, and shout out to them for that as well. They've never tried being anything else, but there's actually so much room to possibly do something there. That's something I'll think on for a little bit.
I think also, you know, when it comes back to rugby, and this isn't a dig, I didn't plan any of this, but rugby has shapes that don't look good in any sort of garment.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to put...
Can you go out in a cheetah's shirt, guys?
Can you go out any shirt if you're 135 kilograms?
Yeah, no.
Like, some guys just built like that, and we need them. That's how we win games.
The only time... Actually, I think about when it was and is acceptable to wear like a rugby jersey out on a date is if it's a Springbok jersey and the Springbok game happening and everyone is doing it with, you know, the big smile.
Yeah.
And our last kit was actually really nice as well, like with all the trimmings. And I think the collar adds quite a bit to it as well, if we're honest. And not having that huge kind of like super stretchy material and everything. Like you're trying to be in Marvel because you're wearing these spandex all over your body and lycra and stuff.
It's like if there's one guy falling down, the coach can see me in the stands. You know? Hey, Kubus, you're in, bro. You're in.
Exactly.
Mups, thanks so much for joining us today. I learned quite a few things. Just on the cuts, you know, it's like you can wear these things. I mean, this winter I'm 2 kilograms heavier just because I'm just trying some stuff out.
Yeah.
And a lot of my football shirts are now too tight. So I fall into that category of it looking too football-y.
Yeah.
So I've got to go. I have a better cut to make it look a little bit looser. And then I can actually more socially wear it. So thank you for that insight.
Thank you. But I was actually just going to say on that, like, sometimes if I know I'm going to be playing social soccer with friends, I'll have like a slightly more fitted one.
Yeah.
And then I'll actually get the same shirt in like literally an XL. Just so it's a little, like an XL, just so it's a lot more loose and looks more casual and not like the problem with the golf fans are the worst. But the problem with sports fans and wearing the clothes is that a lot of them wear it like they're hoping that they get that call up. Like they're hoping they have to run on the field. That they're hoping if you go to a golf tournament,
up next,
the fans
up next
all wear golf clothes. Like, you hope, like, they're hoping someone's going to pull out.
And they say, up next.
And they're like, exactly, you're up next. And for me, it's like, are you not embarrassed? Why are you wearing golf shoes and like the full outfit when you're just walking around the ropes and just hoping to see this player that you are, you know?
I am a golfer. I'm not going to defend any of that. I mean,
you know, it's true.
Thank you for giving me that insight.
I'm just saying, like, I'm gonna watch golf fans.
When you guys go to your next golf tournament, I'm going to watch how
it's
you guys
It's fine if you just wear the cap or whatever, but like, I mean, that's cool, you know. I love wearing my TaylorMade cap
might
or whatever,
be a glove in the back pocket.
But exactly, it's like there's a whole bunch of grown baby men who are just like hoping to get that moment, you know. Although it is funny when guys pull pranks where they really like try to dress up and look like they're definitely one of the golfers, and they go around. They try to get in front of the ropes. I don't know if you've seen the pranks online. They get in front of them, and they just start signing cards and gloves, and people have no idea who they are. But they're like, please, can you sign my, you know, so.
Kids are gullible.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, guys. That was fun.
Happiness. Undefeated.
I wish you all the best. The transfer window has given Man United something.
This
international break.
This is probably the best jersey out there right now of all.
Yeah, it's a good looking jersey there, too. All retro little motifs in the
jacket.
Go
there. Sorry, not jersey, yeah. Jacket. Yeah.
All right, guys. So catch us back next week. Exciting time because SA20s. I know it only starts in December, but there's a whole bunch of preamble starting with the auction. There's a whole bunch of players to be talking about. And of course, this tournament is starting at a different time frame this season. Because there's no test match over the festive season, SA20 from the 26th of December. And yeah, we're going to kick things off for the next few weeks. And then I've got like the craziest month ahead for travel, which obviously I'm going to incorporate into the show. So from very, very exciting things to share with you going forward. And of course, Rugby Championship. SA versus the All Blacks. If you are watching us this week, join us at Benchwarmers from 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be stacked. We're going to be breakfast beering it, and we're going to be shouting for the Booker.
Absolutely.
I think we can end it there.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, you knew exactly which one I was talking about.
It was Lion Spider-Man.